I just can't get enough of those takeaway listener blues. Please keep calling us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. That's fantastic. And I even like those young kids in that windy parking lot there that we talked to yesterday. But seriously, when 18-year-old Michael Brown was shot and killed by a white officer in Ferguson, outside of St. Louis, his death began a national inquiry into police brutality that has become an open debate and a diverse constitutional conversation about the entire U.S. criminal justice system. Nearly 3 years ago, a group of community members came together to form the Ferguson Commission to examine what happened, make recommendations for the future. That report, called Forward Through Ferguson, came out in the fall of 2015. Lots of reports like this get written and read, and what happens next? Well, the report compiled a list of calls to action that included updating the police department's use of force training and creating a civilian review board. Amy Hunter spent a lot of time listening to and contributing to the commission. She's manager of diversity and inclusion for St. Louis's Children's Hospital, longtime activist in Ferguson. Amy, welcome back to The Takeaway. It's great to see you.
Thanks. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
How do you feel at this particular moment? It's almost like a different world politically if we look at the nation, but I just feel a lot of embrace of local initiatives here in St. Louis, even in my brief time.
There certainly has been a change in the conversation, so people at least having the conversation they weren't having prior to the tragic death of Michael Brown. And so that has been positive. We've seen corporate America step up to the plate. Ameren's created an online resource with videos and curriculum free for anyone's use. Certainly where I work at St. Louis Children's Hospital, we've seen our leadership embrace the Ferguson Report and implement many of the strategies in the work that we are doing at the hospital.
When we were on the air, there was a live town hall meeting that we had, and I remember one woman very, very vividly saying, "I'm going to think about how I can talk about white privilege." It was kind of a, you know, halting, stuttery sort of remark, but emotionally, she had come to a new place. Are people figuring out how to talk about white privilege in a place where at that town meeting people felt like, well, you can't see anything of what's going on. We see everything of what's going on.
Yeah, I certainly think we've got some great initiatives. So Mary Ferguson is now leading the initiatives at the YWCA with Witnessing Whiteness. Over 1,000 people here in St. Louis have gone through that. White people have gone through that. And they're teachers and doctors and police officers and federal law enforcement officers. Certainly that has made an impact. That program has launched in 17 other cities across the United States. So we've seen a ripple effect of the activism that occurred here in St. Louis.
Can I take you back in time and play for you something that you said when you were with us a few years ago?
Sure.
All right.
I think what we thought as people of color is that racism was really obvious, and what came out of Ferguson was that it wasn't really obvious. And so I think we all make a commitment to change. I think that, you know, what will kill our community is the stagnation of saying we're going to stay the same or nothing's wrong or everything's fine. And so I think we should make a commitment to acknowledge there is a problem first. That's our first step, like in AA. And then make a commitment to saying that we're all going to be better. And what that better looks like is that we're going to work towards each other. And maybe that means that we're going to have to forgive ourselves for being a hostile, racist community, right? And then commit to each other again to say, we're going to fall in love with each other, treat each other as if we're family, and work towards equity.
How would you say the community's done since you made those tough remarks?
I've actually changed those tough remarks to probably even tougher remarks and said that better probably isn't good enough. We need to strive for awesome. And what does that look like in every institution that we have? So are our schools awesome? Is our healthcare system awesome? Have we ended the economic divide when we're talking about health disparities? Jason Purnell's work certainly, and for the sake of all, has given us another lens. That was part of the Ferguson Report to say, hey, your zip code matters for lots of things in your life. So I really don't want St. Louisans to rest on better. I think we're good at when it gets a little bit better resting right there. I want us to strive for awesome. I want us to be the city that Chicago and San Francisco people want to come live in because we're just that amazing. So I think I've probably elevated the bar since then.
Well, that's ambitious. How would you say the politics is in Missouri right now? You've got a Senate race that's important. You've got a mayoral race, I believe.
Yeah, actually, the Ferguson mayoral race is this week. So that will be a run that hopefully people will come out and vote for. We certainly just had one for the St. Louis City. So we are seeing more people of color actually running for political office, which also gives us hope. The one piece of legislation that actually did pass was putting a lid on police departments profiting off of the backs of poor and brown people. So that's also very hopeful so that they're motivation for stopping and ticketing people is no longer an increase in pay for themselves. So that's hopeful, too.
With the Trump election, what you saw in part, aside from his own particular success, was a wave of anger move through America following other waves of anger that may have, you know, begun with what happened in Ferguson. How do you see what's happened? And when we talk about the criminal justice system, the whole Trump thing doesn't really enter into it, it seems to me, that these are local conversations, and I'm surprised by that.
Well, yes and no. I mean, we certainly see an uptick. Certainly, even where I work, we see an uptick of people being not just brave, but brazen with their anger. Mm-hmm. And so that's disappointing. I don't think that people of color are surprised. I do think it is surprising to white people how many other white people are speaking out in ways, in words that they never thought they would ever hear. That has been heartbreaking, disappointing. But it's also pushed people together in a place. 45 has definitely pushed people in a place together to work collaboratively across racial lines, religious lines, in a way that we weren't prior to Ferguson. So there is a benefit to some collaboration around making sure that the policies and procedures that go forward are not just had.
What's the next step? We just got a few seconds.
Next step is that people really get involved with stuff. I know people are really tired. It has been almost 3 years since Michael Brown. I hope they've gotten some rest because we have a long way to go. This is not the time for people's voices to be silent. This is the time for people to speak up and out and love one another hard.
And you sing the blues, right?
Not that well.
Well, it's great to talk to you again. Amy Hunter, Manager of Diversity and Inclusion for St. Louis Children's Hospital. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Great to see you again.
Thank you.